Something to do with cannibalism?
Josh, it's time to take the lead. John doesn't guess. Josh guesses something to do with cannibalism. We're going to stand here and wait. And
yeah, I'm going to go with cannibalism.
You're going cannibalism? All right. I did my golf voice. Here we go. The people ancient India used to throw balls of clarified butter at the statues of gods in order to seek a favor. What the shit? The people in ancient India used to throw balls of clarified butter at the statues of gods in order to seek favor.
Damn it.
You're way off.
Welcome to the All-American Savage Show podcast with your host, John Burke, and his far more attractive co-host, me. Now, let's get into it. That's what your mom said.
This shit, that ice cold, Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band bought that money. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
Some nigga in it.
Take a sip, sign the check.
Julio, get the stretch.
Right to Harlem, Hollywood, Jackson, Mississippi. If we show up, we gon' show out. Smoother than a fresh drop. Skip it.
I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot.
And welcome back to the All-American Savage Show. I am your podcast host, John Burke, my beautiful heterosexual bearded Jewish life partner sitting across from me over there in the kick chat saying hi to everybody. I see you. I see you. I see you making moves.
Just mixing it up a little bit.
Just mixing it up a little bit. Mixing it with the peasants. What's going on, folks? Hopefully everybody's having a wonderful Friday. It is Friday. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Woke up today, I was actually listening in on Tracy Bean's podcast, Boring AF. No, I'm kidding. No, like they have a very good repartee, her and her podcast. So have you listened to her show?
I haven't.
It's chill.
Yeah.
Like this morning they were talking about like old movies that they can't wait to show their kids when they get of age. One of them was like The Sandlot. Another one was Angels in the Outfield. It's a really good show. It's just kind of like some cool back and forth. Just chill. Not talking about anything too serious.
You know what my son got into is Napoleon Dynamite.
No, that's a classic.
He loves that. It's hilarious.
Napoleon Dynamite, I think,
there's
resonated.
No swearing in it. It's good.
Gosh. Yeah. Not a lot of people remember Napoleon Dynamite.
It's strange because it makes me feel old.
You know how much, I forget how much they made off that movie. You know how much it cost to actually make?
At like $20.
No, it was like $5,000, I think. It was like $5,000. And that movie made millions.
Seems like those are the type of movies that really crush it.
they did, yes.
In the long run, you know?
Let me see. Let me play real quick the Napoleon Dynamite theme. Maybe this will jog some people's memories. Take it down memory lane real quick with us. Hold on. Let me get this up and loaded.
Totally unscripted.
Wholly unscripted, yeah. Did not mean to do this. Here we go. Here it is. Let's throw you back right now. They're putting the plates with the Paramount Pictures Presents written on it. Give it a second. It's a YouTube video.
I mean, just so well done.
There we go.
The creativity is just great.
Oh, it's the White Stripes.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues. Climb the fence, books and pens.
That brings back memories, man. Little White Stripes action. Yeah.
Love the White Stripes.
That Jack dude's a complete douche, though. He can't. He's like huge anti-Trump, being leftist talking points that were just stupid. It's like, dude, come on.
No, I can't listen to him anymore. Thanks.
You're welcome. Go drink your Bud Light. Go drink your Bud Light. Nah, he would. You know, there's a difference in like criticizing Trump for like justifiable things, but he was just all over like the Russian collusion. I think he was so out there. It's like, dude, I can't take you seriously. I don't know. Well, hey, today. Wait a minute. What's the song? Who sings "Insane in the Membrane"?
Cypress Hill.
Cypress Hill. Hold on. Totally off the cuff. Advertising here. One second. It'll make sense. Here we go. Here we go. It's 420 sale weekend. You're welcome. You're welcome. Code 420 is going to save yourself 20% off site-wide from shellshockcbd.com. What are you waiting for? Go do it. Yeah. Perpetuating that drug culture like I've been accused of. Oh, that's it. Yeah. Big dick player. Swinging past your knees. To get high, so high. We used to listen to that before high school, before we'd be getting stoned, somewhere and listening to Cypress. So cock the hammer, we were a bunch of badasses. Oh, yeah. We were like white suburban kids. Yeah. What the fuck do we
driving
know?
Driving around a Toyota Camry.
Code 420 at shellshockcbd.com for 20% off site wide. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Go jump on this. Fat kid on a cupcake. Go check it out.
I want to get high. So high.
Hits from the bong. Yep. Hits from the bong is another good one.
Yeah.
Insane in the Membrane. Hits from the bong. Cock the hammer. Man, they had a few good hits.
Yeah. I celebrate the whole album. It's all fantastic stuff.
I'm gonna take this off to where nobody can see this. Let me see if you can actually identify this song. Don't look at the screen. Let me see if you can identify this song. Here we go. In the chat, say it when you type it when you get it. All right, that's all I'm gonna play. Did you hear it?
No, I don't have my headset. Sorry.
Where's your headset?
I gotta play. It's in my office.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. All right, here we go. I'm gonna play it one more time for the people in the chat.
Thank you for picking up on the latest recording.
Ah, Prime Metal got it. Typo negative. October Rust. It's another classic. This is a good one.
I would have never gotten it.
Oh, that's a good one.
A salty sweat drips from her.
Ah, God, it's an ad. Hey, it's World of Warships. It's an ad for World of Warships. How fitting. Go check it out. It's a great game. Great game. Typo negative. That's another one of those dark ones. It's kind of like, man, this is like got some suicide vibes, but I dig it. Salty sweat drips from her breast. Her hips move. It's like listening to like a gothic Dracula.
I've never
I guess.
Heard of it.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it definitely had its own kind of genre. It was like a goth heavy metal, but it was very appealing. It has like a good, it's a good vibe, good sound to it. But yeah, it's one of those songs or types of music that if you're in a depressed state, don't listen to that music because it's going to make you like want to put a gun in your mouth. It's just like, oh, the darkness is where the life truly is. I cut myself to bleed and the blood is the life. It's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, geez.
Let's put this to guitar. It'll be magic. Yeah. Anyway, again, here we go. Happy 420. Again, for those that are that want to go out there and spark up and blaze up. Again, code 420 is going to get you 20% off of the entirety of the ShellShockCBD.com website. Appreciate it. And if you're watching on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Kick, do that thing that you know I like you do when you do what you do with that finger of yours. When you hit that retweet, the share, the like, leave a comment. Do that thing I like. Do the thing that you know I like with your finger. Just go ahead and do it right now. You're not, nobody's judging you. It's King Free Zone. We're not king shaming here. Do that thing you know I like. Hit that share. Also, don't forget to check out the refer a friend option on the shellshockcbd.com website. They get $20 and you get a $20 coupon for a successful referral. Link to do that is on the bottom of the rewards page on the website. Reward points now expire 1 year after they've earned. So basically, if you sign up for our rewards point program, you get points every time you make a purchase. And eventually, you can cash those points in for free prizes. Not prizes. Sounds like a circus thing. Like, step right up. No, you cash it in for free product. It's pretty badass. Make sure you're signed up to our reward program and use your points before they expire. We have a large number of customers with outstanding points, most with $10 to $20 in free points. Like, you guys are not taking advantage of this. Don't skip out on this. If you are a rewards point member, number one, you're already getting your stuff at a discounted rate, but don't forget to turn in and cash in those points. Like, we literally did this to like give our rewards people show them some love. It's like, Thank you for all that you do for us. Here's some love your way, give you a discount. Don't skip out on that. So we appreciate that. Unless you just really want to pay full price, then go right ahead. I mean, it's just
we appreciate that too.
We appreciate that too. But no, we greatly appreciate all of our customers. Again, code 420, 20% off site-wide for this weekend and this weekend alone. Go check that out. What the hell are you waiting for? Why are you still here? Should be doing that. Okay, so cat got your tongue, huh? Right? Cat got your tongue? You know where that came from?
Where?
I have no idea, but we're about to find out. All next right, segment, okay. We've got no introductory music because I feel like we should like spice things up. What do we got over there? No. What else? And the next, that sounds, okay, we got famous sayings, idioms from throughout the history of the world and where they come from. That sounds like a Friends intro. I'll be there for you. Anyway, Cat Got Your Tongue right off the bat. Said to someone who remains silent when they are expected to speak. The origins. There are two stories on how this saying came into being. The first one says that it could have come from a whip called cat o' nine tails that was used by the English Navy for flogging and often left the victims speechless. The second one may be from an ancient Egypt where liars' tongues were cut out and punishment and fed to the cats. That just got really dark.
Yikes.
That's the possible... origins of Cat Got Your Tongue. Second one, the walls have ears. Basically means be careful what you're saying as people may be eavesdropping. The origin, do you have anybody have any idea where this originated from? Can't the walls have ears? Take that as a no. The government? The face Louvre Palace in France was believed to have a network of listening tubes so that it would be possible to hear everything that was said in different rooms. People say that this is how the Queen Catherine de' Medici discovered political secrets and plots. Did not know that. Bury the hatchet. End a quarrel or conflict and become friendly. During negotiations between Puritans and Native American men would bury all of their weapons, making them inaccessible. Okay, that's okay.
Stupid.
No wonder you got your asses kicked. Nah. We've buried our weapons. Joke's on you. Cold feet. Loss of nerve or confidence. The idiom originates from a military term. Warriors who had frozen feet were not able to rush into battle. That makes sense.
Pretty straightforward.
Big wig. You got a big wig over there. An important person, especially in a particular sphere. Their origins were back in the 18th century. The most important political figures would wear the biggest wigs. Hence today, influential people are called big wigs. Caught red-handed. Ooh. Where do you think this is coming from? Something Native American? Red-handed? Redskins, what they called them?
Thing? Maybe.
I don't know. Used to indicate that a person has been discovered in or just after the act of doing something wrong or illegal. There was an old law stating that if someone butchered an animal that didn't belong to him, he would be punished if he was caught with blood on his hands. If one was caught with the meat but his hands were clean, he would not be punished. Not where I thought that came from. Raining cats and dogs. Idiom has two stories that try to explain its origin. The first explanation says that the origin of this phrase comes from Norse mythology, where cats would symbolize heavy rains and dogs were associated with the god of storms, Odin. The second version says that in 16th century England, houses that had thatched roofs, which were one of the few places where animals were able to get to warm, sometimes when it would start to rain heavily, roofs would get slippery and cats and dogs would fall off, making it look like it was raining cats and dogs. Have you seen how they make those thatch roofs? They're actually they still make them today. They're really? Actually pretty cool. Huh. Yeah, it's very interesting. Blood is thicker than water. Family relationships and loyalties that are strongest and most important ones. Origin, even though many think or might think this saying means that we should put family ahead of friends, it actually meant that complete opposite. The full phrase was actually, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. And it refers to warriors who shared the blood they shed in battles together. These blood brothers were said to have stronger bonds than biological brothers. Huh. Did not know that. So the original phrase was, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb.
Sounds pretty badass.
It does, yes. The blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. Tonight we dine at Applebee's. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I think I know this one. Because I do remember that, like, you can get a good indicator for a horse's overall health by looking at the mouth. And they said if somebody gifts you a horse, don't look in the mouth and see what kind of, like, health it has. Like, the fact they gave you a horse, I don't know, that's what I'm thinking. While buying a horse, people would determine the horse's age and condition based on its teeth and then decide whether they want to buy it or not. This is the reason why people use this idiom to say it's rude to look for flaws in things that was given to you as a gift. I got that one right. That's one out of, like, what? Nine so far? You haven't gotten any.
Pretty good.
Stupid. Stupid. Barking up the wrong tree. Any ideas?
Barking up the wrong tree?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my guess. A dog barked up the wrong tree.
This phrase refers to hunting dogs who chase their prey up a tree. Once it climbed the tree, the dogs would bark at them. So yet sometimes the dogs would continue to bark even if the prey was no longer there. All right, I'll give you that. Oh, come on. It's like it's in the title.
Yeah.
That's like a freebie.
Yeah.
That's like the middle one on the bingo card. All right, we'll give it to you. So we're 1-1. Turn a blind eye.
See an eye that
can't see. Oh, stop. Just stop. The origins. Neither of I have no guess. Do you have a guess?
No, I don't.
I got none. Okay. It's believed that this phrase originates with naval hero Horatio Nelson. Yeah, we both would have definitely bombed that one. Who used his blind eye to look through his telescope. This way he was able to avoid signals from his superior, who wanted him to withdraw from battle. He attacked it, nevertheless was victorious. What? So basically his superior was telling him to like fall back and he pretended to be looking through his... Jesus. Oh my God. I'm coughing up a lung over here. So basically he would ignore calls to fall back. By pretending to look through his
blind eye.
Yeah. That's a twist. Didn't, yeah. Okay. Okay. That's interesting.
Must have had a real impact to make that saying last forever.
No shit.
You know what I mean?
Like the dude used his fake eye. Yeah. Bite the bullet. I think I have an idea. Something to do with pain, like dealing with pain. Like you bite down on a bullet. Like maybe when they were like, you got gunshot and you had to slap hot metal on to close the wound. You know, like you have something, but I don't know. But I also remember they used to use bite leather or something, like a rein or a strap.
Yeah. Stick.
What are you thinking? Can't use mine. I mean, you can.
See, you said bite it for pain.
You're like, bite it for pleasure.
Make sure it's real. Make sure a bullet's real.
Alec Baldwin could use a hand on that.
Alec Baldwin.
During battles, there was no time to administer anesthesia while performing surgeries. Because of that, patients were made to bite down on a bullet to distract themselves from the pain. Nailed it. You didn't guess it. I said said you could use mine. You didn't use it.
You said I couldn't use it.
And then I said you could right after. Roll it back. Rewind it.
Fuck you.
2-1. 2-1. 1 for the road. Where do you think it, I mean, we know the meaning of it, but where do you think it originated? I'm saying Ireland.
One for the road.
Nah, I'm going to say this originated in Ireland. They're alcoholics.
You think so?
You can use
like
you
Old
can,
West.
So is that your guess?
That's Old my West? Guess, is that it originated from the Old West.
I'm saying Ireland. Okay. During the Middle Ages, the condemned ones were taken through what is known as today's Oxford Street, to their execution. During this final trip, the cart would stop and they would be allowed to have one final drink before their death. Both wrong, and that's pretty dark. One for the road.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day. So England. Honeymoon. Where did the idiom honeymoon come from? Any idea?
Something to do with sex, maybe?
According to tradition, a newlywed couple would have to drink a beverage with honey for an entire month for fertility and good luck. Didn't say where that originated from, though.
Has to do with sex.
What was your guess?
I said something to do with sex. I feel like it's pretty close.
Yeah, but this is more for fertility purposes. That's the byproduct of sex. So you're reaching. Chat, what do we think? Should we give Josh that one? One for yes, two for no. Does Josh get that one? One for yes, two for no. I'm watching Kick and Rumble chat.
Yeah. How about you convince me I'll stop drinking Celsius?
They're all
now.
Saying one. Son of a bitch. All right. Two or two. one for the Jew.
Kobe.
Oh, my God. White elephant. I'm saying something to do with India. Very rare. Hardly ever seen.
Sure.
Oh, you can't use my guess now.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're wanting to. You're thinking that?
Where the origins of white elephant came from? Yeah, I guess India. I mean,
white elephants are considered to be sacred creatures in Thailand. Oh, we were wrong. Yet they were also very hard to take care of. It is believed that Siamese kind of blah, 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 blah. Now Thai would gift white elephants as a subtle form of punishment, since taking care of this animal would drive the recipient into financial ruin. Wow. So we both got half a point on that one. We said rare, but we said India versus Thailand.
Yeah, Oliviera got it in the chat.
Nobody cares about her.
Yeah.
I don't know why they watch us. I'm kidding. Break a leg. Of course, we know it has something to do with theater.
Yeah.
Where would you say it originated?
England.
So we're going on location. I'm going to say, I want to say England as well, but part of me wants to say Greece. I'm going England as well. It is believed the phrase dates World War I Germany. We were both wrong. And a saying used by German actors, Hals und Beinbruch, which translates to, sound like Cleon. Translates to a broken neck and a broken leg. Besides that, it still doesn't make sense why you would wish somebody to break a leg. Well, as it turns out, popular folklore down through the ages encouraged people to wish each other's bad luck, since it was believed that wishing someone good luck would tempt evil spirits. So you guessed it, people started wishing each other to break a leg in order for them to not break one. Huh. So it's a reverse. It's like, instead of wishing good things on you and then bad things happening, I'm going to wish bad things on you and good things happen. It makes perfect sense if you don't think about it.
Yeah.
No. Is what it is.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. We're tied right now. 17. Give the cold shoulder. Something to do with the cold. I'm going to say Alaska.
You think so?
I have no idea.
I'm going to go Greenland.
Okay. The saying that is currently considered described someone was rude, actually considered an act of politeness during medieval times in Greek. Shut the...
Kobe.
Actually, no, it's England. During the medieval times in England, after everyone was done feasting, the host would give his guests a cold piece of meat from the shoulder of beef or pork as a way of showing that it was time for everyone to leave. Huh. Mm. Okay. That's,
yeah, Tammy got it.
That's, I've never heard of that one before. So they would give you a cold piece of meat, normally like a shoulder cut, to indicate that it is time to go. Did not know that. Riding shotgun, stagecoach, Wild West. Is that what you're guessing?
It sounds the most logical, yeah.
Damn it.
I'm going to go with it.
I'm going to stop saying it first and ask your guess. The expression refers to a passenger in an old-fashioned stage. The son of a bitch! I got to stop telling you these. There's no evidence to suggest the expression was actually used in times of the Wild West, but most likely came about much later on when media and films began romanticizing the period. It was basically the man who sat next to the driver with a shotgun to protect from attackers and robbers along the way. 19, crocodile tears.
Australia?
I'll go with that. Read in the 14th century, a book called The Travels of Sir John Mandeville recounts a knight's adventures through Asia. In the book, it says that crocodiles shed tears while eating a man they captured. Even though it is factually inaccurate, the phrase crocodile tears found its way into Shakespeare's work and became an idiom in the 16th century symbolizing insincere grief. That's dark. I had no idea. Kick the Bucket. What's your guess?
I'm going to say it has something to do with hanging, and they would kick a bucket when they fell, maybe.
Okay.
They'd kick the bucket out from underneath them.
Where?
Middle East, maybe?
I'm going to say, what? Middle East? I don't think they hang people over there. I think they cut their heads off and stone them.
Did they?
I'm going to go same thing, but Wild West. So you're saying Middle East? I say Wild West.
I'll say Europe. Let me say Europe?
Yeah. Okay. When killing a cow at slaughterhouse, man, we were already way off. we went dark and morbid. Yeah. When killing a cow at a slaughterhouse, people would place a bucket under the animal while it was positioned on a pulley. While trying to adjust the animal, the cow would kick out its legs and therefore kick the bucket before being killed. Let me read that again.
I'm terrible at this.
Yeah. When killing a cow at slaughterhouses, people would place a bucket under the animal while it was positioned on a pulley. While trying to adjust the animal, the cow would kick out its legs and therefore kick the bucket before being killed. That's sad. Show your true colors. I'm going to say, being there's a picture of a ship here, I'm going to guess that it's something to do with the fact that pirates would use fake colors to get close to ships then run up their true colors. Is that what you're going to get? You're going to guess that too. Yeah, of course you are. To confuse their enemies, warships would use multiple flags. However, warfare rules dictated the ships must show its actual flag before firing, and hence the ships would then display its true colors. So I think we're still tied. I'm going to stop giving you my answers. Close, but no cigar. What are you thinking?
What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm thinking you don't know. Close, but no cigar.
I have no idea.
I'm going to say it's something to do with being like second place and the reward being cigars or tobacco of some sort. In the late 19th century, carnival games were targeted to adults and not children, so the winners would get a cigar as a prize instead of stuffed animals. And if the person was close to winning but did not succeed, they'd say it was close but no cigar. Did that count for me?
I think it does. That's pretty good.
3-2. Waking up on the wrong side of the bed. I think I have my answer. Totally guessing on this one, though.
I'm guessing maybe you would roll out of bed, like off a cliff, maybe.
Okay.
That was the wrong side.
I'm going to say it's avoiding rolling the opposite direction from where the chamber pot is. Back in the olden times, they piss in a chamber pot. So I'm just venturing here, saying that you don't want to roll over and being on that side and step into the piss and shit the night before.
Pretty good guess.
Guessing on this one. Throughout history, the left side is basically anything that's considered to be the evil side. Oh, so waking up on the left side was also considered a sign of bad luck. To ward off evil, house owners would put the left sides of the beds to the corner so the guests would have no other option than to get up on the right side of the bed. Huh. Never knew that. Did you know that? Clearly not.
You sounded right.
Yeah, it
makes more sense.
It does. Yeah. Butter someone up. Now we're getting to some rare ones here. Butter someone up, meaning flatter with otherwise ingratiate or flatter or otherwise ingratiate oneself with someone. Butter somebody up. I have nothing.
Something to do with cannibalism.
Josh's time to take the lead. John doesn't guess. Josh guesses something to do with cannibalism. We're going to stand here and wait.
I'm going to go with cannibalism.
You're going cannibal? All right. I did my golf voice. Here we go. The people ancient India used to throw balls of clarified butter at the statues of gods in order to seek a favor. What the shit? The people in ancient India used to throw balls of clarified butter at the statues of gods in order to seek favor.
Damn it.
You were way off. Put a sock in it. I'm going to say something along the lines of clogging something up.
What else could it mean? Putting it in a pipe or something?
In late 19th century, people would use woolen socks to stuff the horns of their gramophones or record players to lower the sound since these machines had no volume controllers. Oh, wow. Huh. Son of a gun. That's a common one. I have no idea. Son of a gun. I'm going to say Wild West.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm lost here.
Back in the day, sailors would sometimes take their wives on long ocean voyages. It is believed that if the woman gave birth on a ship, it should take place between the cannons on the ship's gun deck, since it was the most secluded place. Because of this reason, a child that was born on a ship would be called a son of a gun. Huh. Had no idea.
Well, son of a gun.
No idea.
I've never guessed it.
Best man. I'm going to say Renaissance period.
Renaissance period.
With something to do with knights. I don't know.
Probably. I could see that.
Son of a bitch. It is said that during feudal days, it was possible that a rival lord would try to break up a wedding ceremony and steal the bride for political reasons. To avoid any trouble, grooms would ask their best friends to stand next to them during the ceremony so they would help during the possible battle. The man standing next to the groom was named best man. I'm still up by one. Born with a silver spoon in your mouth. I'm guessing, well, no. What's your guess, Josh? What's your guess?
I'm going to say somebody who is born into a wealthy family.
Well, that's the meaning, yes, but yeah. Where did it originate from?
They got a silver spoon in their mouth, and it was a sign of good luck.
All right. It's an old tradition for godparents to gift a silver spoon to a christened child. However, not everyone is able to afford this type of luxury gift, so those who did receive the spoon as a gift were considered to be wealthy, sometimes even spoiled. I mean, all right, fine. We're tied. I'll give you that one. We're tied. We'll go to 30. We got two left.
Okay.
I think there's like 50 total. Steal one's thunder.
I'm going to go Greek mythology here. Something to do with Zeus.
Okay. Steal one's thunder. I got nothing. All right, you're saying Greek mythology. You think that you've done something awesome and unique, but someone got there first and took your credit. Spare a thought for playwright John Dennis, who, back in the 18th century, made a machine that could nicely mimic the sound of thunder for his play. Sadly, his play wasn't a success, but somebody had taken note of his clever invention. Excuse me. When later on, in another theater, Dennis found somebody had copied his thunder machine and was using it without credit. He got mad, really mad, that somebody had stolen his thunder.
That makes more sense.
That does make more sense. Number 30, we're still tied. We're going to go until we get a tiebreaker. Get one's goat. I'm guessing Wild Wild West, steal your neighbor's goat for as a sign of vengeance. Or maybe England. I'm saying England.
Yeah, I was going to go Europe.
Europe, okay. So Europe still, okay. So this would be a tie even if we
Europe,
get right.
They're stealing someone's goat.
During horse racing, some horses would get anxious. So owners would place goats in the stalls with them to calm them down. Rival horse owners would sometimes steal these goats, therefore upsetting the horse and making it more than likely to lose. Yeah, both wrong. We're going to keep going. Achilles' heel.
It was from
Greek
Troy,
mythology, Troy. Achilles
got this, shot in the
But you
Achilles
know why,
tendon.
Right?
Why what?
You know the reason why he was vulnerable in the heel?
His Achilles tendon, because he got shot with an arrow.
Yeah, but it was Achilles, though. He was invincible, yeah. Except for his heel. Why?
I don't know.
When his mother dipped him in the river, I think Styx, she couldn't put her hand in it, so his heel was the only thing that didn't get dipped. So when he got shot in the heel, he died.
Really?
Kid you not. I don't know if that's where it came from. The phrase comes from Greek mythology where, yeah, Thetis dipped her son, Achilles, in the Styx, a river that was believed to be a source of incredible power and invulnerability. However, this was holding her son by his heel, meaning it was the only part of his body that was not touched by water, making his heel vulnerable. Eventually, Achilles was killed by the shot of an arrow in his heel. We're both right, even though you didn't know the extent that I did.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
No. My ears are burning. Ears are burning. I'm going to guess it's something to the effect. Well, actually, you guess first, because I think mine makes sense and you're going to try and steal it from me.
Well, it's got to be something pretty obvious.
Not necessarily.
I think it is.
All right, what do you think?
I think it's just someone who wanted to get somebody's attention and they put some heat on the back of their ear. Maybe they were deaf.
Okay. I'm going to say it's something to the effect of people would ask somebody to go step outside in the cold while they talked and they'd be outside in the cold so long their ears would start burning from the cold. That's what I'm going to guess. You're okay? Idiom digs back to ancient Roman times, who believed that burning sensations in various organs had different meanings. In fact, it was believed that if your left ear is burning, it signaled an evil intent, and if your right ear was burning, you were actually being praised. Well, way off. Had no idea about that.
These are all over the place.
I love it. Let the cat out of the bag.
I'm going to say people who would drown cats.
I'm going to go with something along the lines of the beginning of a certain kind of race or something to do with, I mean, I don't know. Like the letting the cat out of the bag signified the beginning of something. And you're saying something drowning cats, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Some time ago, farmers who sold pigs would bring them to the market wrapped up in a bag. Unscrupulous ones would replace the pig with a cat, and if somebody would eventually accidentally let the cat out, their fraud would be uncovered. That's stupid. It's just stupid. B Pastor in the chat says Chinese food.
Ancient China.
Oh, my God. Blue blood.
It's because you're...
Yeah, I know. I just don't know where it originated from. I got nothing.
Native Americans?
Saying that someone has blue blood comes from the Middle Ages, where it was believed that those who had pale skin, meaning their ancestors have not intermarried with darker skin partners, were noble or aristocrat. The main reason behind it was that when your skin is really pale, the veins are more visible and they usually look quite blue. Sign of aristocracy, I guess.
Huh. Your camera froze.
My camera froze. I didn't do anything. Why did my camera freeze? Let me check the properties on it. That's weird. Okay, fixed it. Good. Keep going. Every cloud has a silver lining. I'm saying something to do with nautical. You can't take mine. That's the new rule. Now we can't take each other's. Like whenever you got to say
whoever says it first.
Whoever says it first. I'm saying something nautical with sailors.
All right, I'm gonna go Europe. Something to do with
that's
luck.
Like your go-to
know.
Is Europe. The expression betrays directly from a piece written in 1634 by English poet John Milton called Comus, a mask presented at Ludlow Castle. He spoke of silver lining of brightness and behind a gloomy cloud, and soon afterward Milton's clouds became a staple of English literature. The proverb, every cloud has a silver lining, eventually came into being in the 1800s, a time of optimism and positivity in the upper classes of Victorian England.
Looks like I nailed it.
What? The whole nine yards.
That's what your mother said.
Whole nine yards. I'm thinking something to do with fabric. Like you had to buy the whole nine yards of a certain kind of fabric.
I want to say I've heard this one before.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm going to give it to you.
All right. It is during World War II, pilots would have a nine-yard chain of ammunition. When a fighter pilot used all the ammunition on one target, they would give the whole nine yards. Huh. I never knew that. Whole nine yards. Oh, Oliviero 92 in chat. He said 50 cal belts on fighter planes. He got it. Nicely done.
Yeah, I got to watch the chat.
Sleep tight.
I'm going to say prison.
I'm going to say something to do with coffins. It's believed that the saying comes from Shakespeare's time when mattresses were secured by ropes. During that time, sleeping tight meant sleeping with the ropes pulled tight, making a well-sprung bed. The shit? Okay. Piece of cake. I've got nothing.
Piece of cake?
I'm saying Europe. I'm going Europe. Victorian England, to be more specific.
It was a sign of good faith giving someone a piece of cake.
The saying piece of cake comes from American poet Ogden Nash, who in 1930 was quoted saying, life's a piece of cake. That is dumb. It's just some stupid dude just said it. It has no origin. Some dude just said it.
I agree. Ranger and the Kick Chat gay bakers.
Spill the beans.
Wild West.
Ooh. I got nothing. The saying comes from ancient Greece, where voting was done using beans. Citizens would put white beans into the jar of a candidate they support and black ones for a candidate they did not approve of. However, on a few occasions, clumsy people would spill the jars, revealing classified information. Forgot about that. Pull out all the stops. Pull out all the stops. I mean, the mean is basically, it's like when somebody's coming over, you're going to, like, you know, put on a dog and pony show, whatever. You pull out all the stops. There's, sky's the limit. Nothing's off limits. Pull out all the stops. I'm thinking something to do with waterways, and you pull stops out that I got nothing. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with B. Papster, door-related.
Organ consoles have knobs that are called stops. Organ consoles have knobs that are called stops. Without them, the organist can play at a much higher volume, so pulling out all the stops would let the organist squeeze the maximum volume out of the instrument.
Damn it.
Man, we were way off on that one. Nobody in the chat's getting it either. Run amok. Amok's the kind of bird in Australia and that runs like crazy, so you're going to run amok. I have no idea.
That's probably it.
It's probably not. What are you thinking? Europe?
Run amok. Yeah. Europe.
The saying comes from the Malaysian word amok, which describes the bizarre behavior of tribesmen who, under the influence of opium, would become wild and attack people. Also known as Chicago.
That's wild.
resting on laurels. Resting on your laurels, resting on your principles. Laurels being little things around your head that Caesar used to wear, like the golden branches that represented, I think, olive leaves. I forget what it is. But resting on your laurels. I'm saying something to do with Rome.
Yeah, sleeping at night comfortably.
Since ancient Greece, laurel, son of a bitch, I was close. Laurel branches symbolize victory and success. This plan was closely tied to Apollo, the god of music, prophecy, and poetry. Laurel branches were given to victorious athletes in ancient Greece and later to generals who won important battles, thus the term laureates and the phrase resting on laurels. In 19th century, the term received a negative connotation to describe those who are overly satisfied with their achievements. I did not know that. Eat humble pie. I think something to do with losing a fair cook-off. And if you lose, you have to eat the loser's pie or something. You have to eat humble pie. I don't know. What do you think?
Eating a pie that's disgusting.
Okay. In the Middle Ages, there would be a huge feast after a hunt. The lord of the manor would receive the finest piece of meat, and the ones with a lower status would eat a pie filled with the entrails and innards, which were also known as umbles. Those who would eat the umble pie were considered to be humiliated, since it symbolized their lower status. But, I mean, who's to say whether or not it's gross? People eat good stuff like that all the time.
I just said it was gross.
Where did it say it was gross?
Read it again.
The finest piece of meat and the ones with the lower status eat a piece of meat or pie filled with the entrails and innards. Because even in Scotland, they would eat entrails.
Yeah, but they said it was humiliating, right?
Humiliating based upon status. Chat, are we giving this to Josh? I don't think it's basically a status symbol.
Yeah, but it's eating somebody's disgusting pie.
Oh, okay. I mean, are we giving it to him? One for yes, two for no. Does Josh get it? One for yes, two for no. Or just say yes or no. Does he get this? Tommy says no. Red Hulk says yes. There's a bunch of yeses in kick chat. Tammy says yes. Darrington says yes. I got two no's. Got four yeses.
All right. Well, let's keep going.
I mean, I want to be fair. I don't know. Ranger and Rogue says one, two. There's a lot of ones. All right. You got it. You want to keep going or move on to the show? What do you think? We should probably move on, huh? We could have a politics-free Friday.
We're not very good at this.
I don't think anybody's good at this. How many? I think we're about 3/4 of the way through.
Too many.
Do what?
Too many, Adam.
We got more. Oh, this is fun. I don't want to keep going. All right. Hands down. Oh, God. BLM. No. Hands down. Hands down, the greatest thing. Hands down. I'm going to say something to do with voting, but, and I'm sure you're going to agree with on that one, but where?
I think hands down?
Hands down. Hands down the best thing I've ever had.
Oh, I was thinking something to do with war, like keeping your hands down so they didn't get shot off or something.
Okay. So right now you're up by one. Hands down is an idiom born from the world of horse racing. Think about it. If you are so far ahead of the chase and the pack that you, as the jockey, can sit back, relax, and still win the race, even with your hands, even without your hands on the rein. Winning at a canter is similar expression, also from the track, but this one is better, hands down. Okay, didn't all know right. that. Take the piss. Like, take the piss out. It's like a British thing.
Take the piss?
Take the piss out of him. It's like take the vigor out of somebody. You take the piss out of him.
I'm beating somebody up?
Yes. Good talking to. Back in the day, when clothes were dyed with natural dye, stale urine was used as a mordant, which stops the natural dye from leaching out of the cloth. The textile industry needed all the urine it could get, so workers would go around and collect specially designated chamber pots full of urine from people's houses. It was probably the least desirable job at the time, so when people who did it would often lie about their profession. And so the question was born from in doubt, really? Really? Question mark, or taking the piss? Did not know that. Huh. Wolf in sheep's clothing.
I'm going to say it's pretty straightforward.
I'm going to go with Scotland. Origins are Scotland. No, wait, do they have wolves in Scotland? I don't think so. I have no idea. I don't think they do. Ireland, maybe? No, maybe not.
I'll say the origin is Asia.
Asia? I'm going Europe. Well, I mean, never mind. The warning that you can't necessarily trust somebody who appears friendly on the outside is centuries old, dating back to the Bible. In the English language, the King James Version of the Bible. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so it's from the Bible. But literally, there's nothing behind. Oh, well, okay.
Well, okay.
That took the piss out of us.
Took the piss right out.
Pulling someone's leg. I'm going to guess as a joke. I mean, I don't know. I got nothing. You got to guess.
Someone's leg is probably to see if somebody was alive.
Okay. While there is no evidence to back up these claims, there are two popular theories for the origin of this playful expression. Neither of them particularly playful. The first relates to thieves in medieval times who apparently pulled on the legs of their victims to trip them and then swiftly make off with their booty. The second theory comes from the Tyburn, the principal place of execution in ye olde England. It referred to the so-called hangers-on who tugged at the legs of people being hanged to give them a mercifully swift death. Neither of these theories are really plausible, however, so the search for the true origin continues. Pulling someone's leg to help them be hung faster? That's kind of... Man, that sucks.
I don't know. Would you rather be hung or have your head chopped off?
I'd rather be hung as far as, like, what I am. Hey-o! Let your hair down. I'm going to say something after Victorian England, when they would get done with all the balls, the ladies would go into their private chambers and let their hair down to relax. I don't know. What are you thinking? You're up.
You said let your hair down after a long night.
Yeah. What are we thinking?
I'm thinking something about taking a wig off.
Taking a wig off? It's basically where I was going as well, but okay. Fair enough. It was an important rule between Parisian nobles to wear elaborate hairdos while in public, and some of the looks required long hours of work. Clearly a moment of taking your hair down after a long day becoming associated with a relaxing ritual. So I think we're both right.
I think you're closer on that one.
To sell someone down the river.
Slaves?
Slaves, but I'm going to say Native Americans. You're going to sell them to the next place down the river, the next reservation, the next encampment down the river. I'm guessing Native Americans.
I'm going to go Democrats selling slaves and sending them down the river.
Oh, my God. All right, here we go. The idiom comes from 19th century in southern states of America. During this period, it was already illegal to import slaves, so therefore... would be internal trades where people would ship slaves down the Mississippi River and sell them at the market. For this reason, selling someone down the river symbolizes betraying someone and using them for your own good. I think you were right. You're up by two. Son of a bitch. 50. We only have 10 left. Read the Riot Act.
Read the Riot Act. Something to do with police.
I got nothing. Room the Riot Act.
About riots and acting.
Something with government involvement. In 18th century England, the Riot Act was a legal document that was read aloud in front of a crowd bigger than 12 people that were considered a threat to the peace. A public official would read a small part of the act and order people to leave peacefully within an hour. Anyone who remained after 1 hour was subject to arrest or removal by force. Well, I mean, you gave the reasoning of this saying, but not what actually stemmed from it.
Yeah.
Rule of thumb. I know this one.
Rule of thumb.
You can't beat her with a stick bigger than your thumb.
Is that what it is?
You didn't know that?
I did not.
The rule of thumb is like, I think it was back in Victorian days or something like that, but basically men could discipline their wives, and the rule of thumb was a law that you can never use a stick bigger than your thumb to beat her.
Sounds right.
It is believed that the rule of thumb comes from 17th century England, where Judge Sir Francis Bueller ruled that husbands can beat their wives with a stick if it is no wider than his thumb. Yeah, remember, that's like a sick one. Like, rule of thumb is like, what? Feminists must love that one. Paint the town red.
Let's see. I'm going to go with red was the cheapest paint that they had, so that's what they would paint the town with.
I'm going to go with something to do with sections of housing. Well, no, I'm not. I don't know. What else? Paint the town red. I'm thinking of that Clint Eastwood movie, Paint the Town Red. If you haven't seen it, it's a really good movie. Paint the town red. I don't know. I got nothing. Let's go. There are two versions of how this idiom came to use. First, it is believed that back in 1837, a famous mischief maker known as the Marquis of Waterford had a wild night out with a group of his friends, during which they knocked over flower pots, pulled knockers off doors, and even broke windows. One of their biggest acts of vandalism was painting the doors of several homes with red paint. The other version of the story says the origin of this idiom might have originated from the brothels of the American West, when they referred to drunk men behaving as if the whole town was a red light district. Crazy.
Interesting.
Crazy. Beat around the bush. I'm guessing that in olden times, parents would take their children behind the bush to beat the shit out of them so nobody would see it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Beating about the bush is actually an action performed while hunting, driving birds and the other animals out in the open. After this was done, others could then catch the animals. Man, I was way off. Man.
Sounded good, though.
Did sound good. Rogue got it right. Hunting. Jason said dating a hairy chick. Break the ice. We're going to break the ice. What does this stem from?
People who would ice fish, and they would see somebody else out there, and they would break the ice together to fish.
Maybe? Okay. In the olden days, commercial ships would often get stuck in frozen rivers during wintertime. So smaller ships called icebreakers would come to clear a path to shore by breaking the ice. In the 17th century, people began using the phrase to mean to reduce tension in a social situation. Interesting. More than you can shake a stick at. Something to do with the South. That's a Southern thing. More than you can shake a stick at, tell you what. I think that's it. What do you think?
Is that what it is?
I think it's a Southern. I don't know what it means, though. I mean, as far as like where did it come from? I understand it signifies a lot. More than you can shake a stick at. Like maybe bees? I don't know.
Something to do. Maybe buying something and they would shake a stick at it. I don't know.
All right. The idiom was born when farmers who waved sticks to herd sheep would have more sheep than they could control.
Damn it.
Never knew that. More than you can shake a stick at.
I would have never made it back then.
Oh, dude. Well, good thing like your level of survival isn't based on like whether you know idioms or not. So I think we're okay. Oh my God. Here we go. Minding your P's and Q's.
Something to do with like vegetables.
I have no idea. This expression has quite a few theories as to its origin, but our favorite refers to the practice of chalking up a tab of drinks for later payment. The P refers to pints and the Q is quarts. You would do well to correctly tally up the right amount as not to cause offense, especially as a customer with a few beers under their belt. Again, there is little to support this theory other than the correct lettering, but we like it nonetheless. So mining your P's and Q. Texas S. Binks, got it. P's and quarts, yep. A liter of cola. Go bananas. We're going to speed this up. Go bananas is the word banana is an inherently funny word. The expression is to go bananas has no conclusive origins. We're going to skip this one. Okay. Please this punch. A puppet show in the 17th century called Punch and Judy featured a puppet named Punch who killed people and took great joy in doing so. He would feel pleased with himself afterwards, for which the saying is pleased as punch was born.
I've never heard of that saying.
You never heard pleased as punch?
No.
Yeah. I just thought it was like punch is delicious, sweet, and people were like, oh, it's so
it's
pleasing.
Very dark, though.
Punch. Right? Yeah. Here we go. Called on the carpet. Like many idioms, the precise origin of this one is not entirely certain. While nowadays the expression is used to refer to reprimand, originated from the days when a servant was called from their bare floored quarters to get an ear bashing from the boss in a carpeted opulence. There is an alternative theory to its true origins. The word carpet used to refer to a thick cloth that could be placed anywhere, often on a table. Therefore, on the carpet used to mean that it was an issue was on the table or up for discussion. Show a leg. Never heard this one. Show a leg. Just before the ships were about to leave port, sailors would try to sneak in a lady and hide them in their hammock. Before leaving, officers would ask anyone in a hammock to show a leg. If a hairless leg appeared, the woman was asked to leave the ship quietly. Never heard that one. Never heard that. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I've heard this one, and it's pretty weird. In 16th century, most people would bathe only once a year. And even when they did that, the entire family would bathe in the same water. Usually, it was men of the house that bathed first, followed by other males, females, and finally babies. At the end of this yearly routine, the water would be so dirty and cloudy that mothers would have to be careful not to throw their infants out with the bathwater.
It would make sense, though, that the men would take a bath first, probably because it would stink the most.
Probably.
Yeah.
No spring chicken. And New England farmers would sell their chickens in the spring, and so young chickens that were born in springtime would sell better than those who survived the winter. Some farmers who would try to sell their older chickens for the same price as spring chickens, which is why the saying, no spring chicken, came into use describing someone past their prime. By and large, the phrase that is usually used as a synonym for all things considered originates from 16th century where the word large meant that a ship was sailing with the wind at its back. Meanwhile, the word by meant the opposite, that the ship was sailing into the wind. The mariners used the phrase by and large to refer to sailing in any and all directions relative to the wind. Didn't know that. Go cold turkey. It is believed that during drug withdrawal, the skin addicts turns hard to touch. It is believed that during drug withdrawal, the skin of addicts turns hard to the touch, covered with goosebumps and even translucent, similar to the skin of a plucked turkey. Doesn't say where it originated, though. Once in a blue moon. This one is rather obvious, since a blue moon is an astronomical phenomenon that is visible once every 2.7 years. Even though the moon actually looks more gray than blue, according to NASA, it might appear to be blue when it is affected by volcanic eruptions of forest fires due to the oils in smoke. A lot of forest fires on the moon? Jaywalker. One who crosses the street. Okay. Jaybirds would often become disoriented in urban areas after flying in from the forest. Dangers in the city, like traffic, for example, would leave them confused and cause erratic behavior. Due to this, people started using the term jaywalker to describe someone walking the streets irresponsibly. And that's all there is.
All right.
That's crazy. A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff I didn't know about.
Interesting.
Right? Got an article here, like Mike Johnson. Everything in the news right now is Mike Johnson. Like Mike Johnson surrenders, Democrats seize control of House floor. You know, Mike Johnson basically was trying to side with Democrats yesterday, I believe, to pass this amendment on the floor that basically says a single vote cannot bring about a motion to vacate. Democrats, and this article comes to us from Breitbart. Says Mike Johnson surrenders, Democrats seize control of House floor. Democrats are in the minority no longer. In a stunning historical development on Friday, Democrats seized upon a Republican surrender to take control of the agenda on the House floor. An astonishing 165 Democrats voted for a rule from Speaker Mike Johnson to allow a $100 billion foreign aid supplemental package to the floor Saturday. The House would hold four votes on final passage for each of those packages, including a Ukraine funding bill with tens of billions of American taxpayer dollars. Minority party members rarely vote for a procedural rule to allow the majority party's agenda to proceed through the House. Doing so in such numbers is wildly unprecedented. History was first made on Thursday, just before midnight, when for the first time in recorded history since the House began keeping records, the House Rules Committee relied on minority party vote to overcome objections from the majority and advanced a rule bill to the House floor. The powerful House Rules Committee, known for generations as the Speaker's Committee, for the control the Speaker of the House possesses over the committee and its reputation as a rubber stamp for the Speaker's agenda, sets the floor agenda for the House through what are known as rules. Johnson disregarded history and abandoned his own party despite its majority, however slim. With more Democrats voting to advance the House's agenda than Republicans, the minority party has effectively taken control over the bills that will become before the House. In the end, it was 151 supported the rule with only 39 Republicans in opposition. The final tally was 316-94. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat out of New York, is a messenger in the minority no longer. He has taken over. Johnson, wow, dude. Wow.
It's like they all hate us.
Just worthless. Worthless. Just worthless. We keep, yeah. I mean, what do you say to this? I mean, what do you say? Rule of thumb. Rule of thumb. Beat him with a stick. Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. I don't know really what to talk about on this. I mean, it's just this is where we're at now, folks. Johnson of all people, just yeah, we're gonna get out of the Dems. Let them control the agenda now. Yeah, just hand it over to the House. Sorry, I can't.
Do you think this gets him booted?
Yeah, I think he's done. I think he's done after this. I think Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the rest of them, they're trying to do this. I don't know. I think that bill passed yesterday. Not the bill. The rules thing passed. I'm sorry. I think the vote is tomorrow on the bills being proposed. And there's going to be, you know, Democrats are going to be united. The foreign aid, I mean, it's basically done. Democrats will be united in this, and you'll have some squishy Republicans that will vote in favor of it. You know, when you have a slim majority of Republican voters and some Republicans cross the aisle, it's over. And we have a GOP that is not united. So it's kind of like, yeah, we have, it's what we got. We have chaos. We have no leadership in the House. Johnson's worthless, and here we are. Here we are.
Fucking Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, Matt Gaetz of all people.
Stupid idiot. He Matt should Gaetz. Be yeah. banished from politics Gaetz forever.
Yeah. Here's something that I want to get people's opinion on. I don't think I necessarily agree with this. This is Ron DeSantis. He signs a bill. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signs school chaplain bills, says Satanists not welcome. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Thursday signed a bill allowing religious leaders and patriotic organizations to interact with students in school, a move that the Satanic Temple plans to contest. DeSantis on Thursday held a conference signing two new bills, HB 1317 and HB 931, which he said would be beneficial to the mental health of Florida students. HB 931 establishes a statewide school chaplain program, which means schools can invite religious affiliates to provide counseling and other services to students who want it and have written permission from their parents. There are some students where they need some soul craft, DeSantis said. That can make all the difference in the world. Now, I don't disagree with that. I don't. But let me finish reading this before I weigh in on this. HB 1317 authorizes school districts to bring in patriotic organizations such as Big Brother, Big Sisters of America, the Boy Scouts of America, Boys and Girls Club of America, and more. Not everyone knows what's all out there in the community, DeSantis said. I think students are better off being involved in any of these activities than just going home and being on electronics for the rest, rather than going home and being on electronics for the rest of the day. Members of the Satanic Temple are already planning to test the limits of the school chaplain bill by bringing their own representatives into public schools. Despite DeSantis' contempt for religious liberty, the Constitution guarantees our equal treatment under the law, and DeSantis is not at liberty to amend the Constitution by fiat at whim, said Lucian Greaves, co-founder of the Satanic Temple. He just invited Satanic chaplains into public schools, whether he likes it or not. DeSantis, who has sparred with the Satanic Temple before, said that's not going to happen. Some have said that if you do a school chaplain program, that somehow you're going to have Satanists running around in all of our schools, he said at the press conference Thursday. We're not playing those games in Florida. That is not a religion. That is not a qualifying to be able to participate. That is not qualifying to be able to participate in this. The bill's sponsor, Senator Aaron Grawl, however, has taken the opposite stance. I think that as soon as we get into the middle of this defining what a religion is and what it is not, and whether or not someone can be available and be on a list, we start to run into constitutional problems, she said before the bill passed. I actually agree with her. That's why I keep saying, like, church and state have got to be separate. Like, for beginnings, for the beginning part of it, do I think it's a good idea to bring in chaplains at the behest of a student and with parental permission? Of course I do. I mean, if the student themselves requests this versus the school forces it on the students, that's different. But at the same time, if you're going to allow those rules, then you should allow it. You have to allow it for everything. You can't discriminate. And then we go back into the what is a religion? Who defines this? I forget what I argued this before. I mean, I argued this a long time ago. Not that long ago. I just don't remember what it was about. But essentially, it's kind of like, what dictates what a religion is? Like, I can believe a certain set of values or principles, whatever, and I say this is my religion. Do you have the right as the government representative to say that's not a recognized religion? To the point, it's like, I don't care. Like, I don't go to the government to get, you know, permission. If I believe that my religion is I'm going to worship CBD oil, and I say I'm going to pray to this every night, and I say this is my religion, they can't say it's not true. Mm-hmm. They have no right. Like, any governing body to say that this is a religion that we recognize, it's like, I don't think I necessarily agree with that. But at the same time, in so doing, I also believe that the government should stay out of it. This is a public school. I'm not talking about private schools.
Keep it out of public schools. But if you want your kid to go to a Christian school, then, you know,
if people were unanimous in this idea of like we're cool with bringing in religious liaisons at the behest of students that request this, I understand this. But then if you're going to turn around and say, yeah, but Satanists aren't allowed, it's like, okay, I mean, do I agree with that? Yes, I do. Like, from a theological standpoint, of course, I hate Satan. I hate people that support that. It's ridiculous. And people's like, well, it's not an actual thing that we worship Satan. It's like, well, then why is it called religion of Satan?
I mean, are Satanists going out and doing missionary works and bringing, you know, supplies and helping?
Probably not.
You know, third world countries and stuff like that. If they have, I haven't heard about it.
I haven't heard about it. But I mean,
but you do have Christian organizations that go out and do outreaches across the world, across the country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what Satanists.
I don't necessarily agree with this. That's why I'm kind of like, if there's a slippery slope in there, I don't think the government should get involved. I think it should just be, no, you go to school for academics. And then if they want religious leaders, whatever, go to a church, go to someplace after. But
yeah, it looks like somebody lit themselves out on fire.
Where?
Out in front of the Trump trial courthouse.
Was it in protest of Palestine? I hope it was.
Look at it now.
We need to get more of them doing this. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
The human shish kebab.
Shish kebab.
Shawarma.
Swarm. Josh, video of the human. They allowed into schools, John, not put into schools. Allowed. I mean, no, I still have to disagree, because if you're not going to allow, like, the thing is, like, the government is putting itself in this position to where they are going to arbitrate what is allowed. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, Wiccan, pagan, whatever. Like I said, this opens up Pandora's box, and I think the best way to address that is to leave it alone. If a child wants somebody to counsel their soul, well, then go to church or do something to that capacity. But for the government to sit there and say, like, hey, we're going to give this legislative body the ability to say and dictate what a religion is and isn't, and what is or is not allowed in the school religiously, I just think that you avoid the entire thing by saying no. You do it on your own. You're here to learn about
God.
Society. What happened? Can you see it?
Libs of TikTok has it on her Instagram. Jesus.
Is it, like, bad?
Dude just lit himself on fire. Woman. Somebody lit themselves on fire. God, man.
It actually shows it? All right. I guess we can watch it. Yeah, please do. Tag me on Twitter. Not John Burke. Did they say Free Palestine first? Please tell me they said Free Palestine first. That's hilarious.
look, and there's the lady just sitting in the chair watching. Like, people are just watching. Like,
well, I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, you want to go near them?
I mean, they're just so calmly watching this person, like this lady in the gray jacket over here, just sitting on a park bench. What the hell is wrong with people?
I don't want to risk showing it and getting banned. I mean, I see it. Man sets himself on fire. This is on Twitter. Outside Trump trial courthouse in New York. I mean, but I'm wondering what this is in protest to. Man sets himself on fire outside of Trump trial courthouse in New York. Just minutes after the jury was selected. Hold on, let's go here. Hold on, this is a CNN. This is a CNN. Somebody said the reaction of CNN was priceless. This is a CNN reaction video. Let's see what they see how they do.
We have a man who is he has set fire to all. What do you say? We also are seeing an active shooter. An active shooter is in the park outside the court. We have a man who is he has set fire to himself. A man has emblazoned himself outside of the courthouse just now. Our cameras are turning right now. A man has now lit himself on fire outside of the courthouse in Manhattan, where we are waiting for history to be made. A full jury panel is gone. We are watching a man who is fully emblazoned in the front of the courthouse today. We are watching multiple fires breaking out around his body and person. We have seen an arm that has been visible that has been engulfed in total flames. There is chaos that is happening. People are wondering right now if people are in danger. I'm looking across the courtyard. There is a man racing to his aid. There is coats coming off to try to put out the fire. We have members of security details. NYPD is rushing to the scene. They are trying to come out. Officers are on the scene. A fire extinguisher is right now present being put on this man to try to put out. People are climbing over barricades to try to separate the public to put out the flame on this man.
She is like, stop talking, lady. He's like, we get it. But I like how she started with active shooter. Like, she didn't hear shots fired. Like, we have an active shooter. It's like, where?
Man, he has lit himself like out of fire in front of the courthouse right now. We are watching as the plane. We can smell the air. I can smell the burning of some sort of a flesh. I can smell the burning of some sort of agent being used as well as an accelerant to put that fire. I smell an actual.
All right, shut up. She's annoying now. It's like, lady, you don't have to keep talking. You can stop. Like
an auctioneer.
Yeah, Jesus.
She's no John Madden. She is not.
Somebody in the tweet said, please be Loomer. Oh, it's the greatest thing ever. Please be Loomer.
Yeah, I wonder if he shouted anything before.
I know, like, otherwise, they had to have. There's got to be something. Like, Hamas is going to take credit for it. The Taliban's going to take credit. They take credit for everything. Like, you stub your toe and Taliban's like, yes, we did this. I don't know. They did it at Trump's trial, but I don't think this is in protest for Donald Trump. I think this is something to do with Palestine. Probably. Tried to Aaron Bushnell or something along those lines. I'm just guessing on that one. Woman just keeps talking the entire time. Like, I smell. Shut up. Shut up. Good Lord. It's annoying. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, people set themselves on fire. Hey, knock yourself out. GOP lawmaker blames Gates and seven useful idiots for House of Turmoil. Representative Mike Lawler out of New York blamed Representative Matt Gaetz and seven useful idiots for turmoil in the House, saying Thursday their success in ousting former Speaker Kevin McCarthy last fall is a direct cause of today's problems for Speaker Mike Johnson. Lawler criticized members of his own party for weakening Johnson's negotiation powers in the battle over aid to Ukraine and Israel, which is moving through the House this week over the objections of some conservatives. Some of these folks have nobody to blame but themselves for why Speaker Johnson's hand in negotiation has been weakened, Lawler told CNN's Anderson Cooper during this Thursday night appearance. It's their actions that have done that. I look at this very simply, he said. In October, the House was thrown into chaos by Matt Gaetz and seven useful idiots that teamed up with him within the Republican conference and 208 Democrats. And at this moment, when you see what happened in the aftermath of vacating the chair and Israel attacked and a terrorist attack a week later, to do that again would be detrimental to the country and global security. Well, you know, I have to disagree with you here. Like, now we got somebody worse than McCarthy. I'm kind of like, then you keep purging until you get the right one.
Yeah.
Keep purging till you, I mean, keep doing it till you get the right one in there.
I think they know who the right person is.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I just, yeah.
They know who won't pass these bills to send money over to Ukraine.
Yep. Kennedy, RFK Jr.'s family members endorsed Biden over RFK at a Philadelphia event. Members of Kennedy's family endorsed President Biden on Thursday at a campaign stop in Philadelphia, a blow to the presidential campaign of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Among the family members to publicly endorse Biden is RFK's sister, was Carrie Kennedy. The Kennedy family endorses Joe Biden for president, she said. As an independent who hasn't shown any signs of dropping out of this presidential race, Kennedy poses a threat to Biden. His sister slammed Trump during her speech. I can only imagine how Donald Trump, I'm just more interested that, like, you voted for somebody over your own blood? But, like, Biden, of all people, that's when you know, like, they are hardcore Democrat shills. Like, you are big-time DNC establishment people. If you're going to vote for Biden over your own blood.
They probably got a big check.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Big DNC check.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be massive against RFKs. Like, even your own family wouldn't vote for you.
I don't think it's going to do it.
What?
I don't think that's going to hurt him at all.
No, I'm saying that's why they're doing this, to try.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Will it? I don't think it'll hurt him, no.
No, I think.
I think if anything, it just, it throws a light on these people that are establishment DNC Democrats. Like, are you stupid? Like, I can understand how Democrats, like, I'm sick of Joe Biden and why they'd want to vote for RFK. I get that. That's why I keep saying, like, RFK is going to pull way more votes from Biden than it would Trump based upon his VP pick there. But now it's like his family. It's like, you're voting for Biden? I was like, bro, just look around. Go to the grocery store. At least have your servants do it and have them bring the receipts back so you can see for yourself how much a gallon of milk costs. Freaking silver spoon motherfuckers. I'm just saying, like, you're right. There had to be checks going out. It's like, hey, endorse Biden if you know it's good for
you. We need you, Biden.
We need you.
Obama called him up.
Yeah, let me be clear. We're going to pay up big time if you don't support the COVID guy. Israel hits back at Iran. Yep, that happened last night. Where did the hit strike? Well, Fox News confirmed there have been explosions in Iran's Isfahan province, which is where Natanz, one of Iran's nuclear facilities, is located. How much damage did the attack cause? Following the attack, Iranian state media stated the nation's atomic sites were fully safe and had not been struck by the missiles. The International Atomic Energy and United Nations affiliate watchdog organization later confirmed there is no damage to Iran's nuclear sites. How will Iran respond? A senior Iranian official reportedly told Reuters on Friday that Tehran has no immediate plans to strike back. Israel intentionally missed. They intentionally missed. Yeah. This was Israel's way of saying, we know where it's at. If you keep this up, we will destroy your nuclear facility. And that's why Tehran's saying we have no immediate time to strike back. It's like, now it's like, okay, you're getting hot water here. So I feel like this is all for show. Iran launched a bunch of drones knowing full well the Iron Dome was going to intercept it. I think there was like they blocked out 99% of what Iran threw. Israel strikes back. No damage to the nuclear facility, but this is just one of those like a shot across the bow. Like, here it comes. Like, if you do it again, we will destroy you. That's why I think this is all for show. This is literally like, but the thing is though, this goes beyond words. Now they're firing. Now this is like, this is, it's, they've escalated to the next step. Now if Iran continues to respond, it's going to be game on. It will be game on. But I don't think there's going to be a war. I just think this is, again, it comes to a boiling point. They do a few jabs and they de-escalate and go back down. We'll see. Iranian state media reported that has been downplaying Friday strikes. A well-placed military source has told Fox News that the strikes were limited. The explosion this morning in the sky of Isfahan was related to the shooting of air defense systems that a suspicious object did not cause any damage. Iranian Army Commander General Abdurrahim Mousavi was quoted by the Associated Press as saying. What has Israel said about the strike? Israel and its government have been notably quiet leading up to and following the retaliatory strike on Iran. Israel would do, because again, Israel's not going to brag about this. They'd be foolish to brag about. This is a message. They just sent a message. Messages are best sent without words attached to them. It's like, let it speak for itself. The fact that we know where your nuclear sites are and we can touch them, that's all you have to say. And this is like a warning to them, say, if you hit us again, we're going to take out your nuclear capacity. Yeah. We'll say. Was the U.S. involved in the strike on Iran? United States has denied any involvement in the strike, having pleaded with Israel for days to respond with restraint against Iranian strikes. Maybe this is Israel's way of kind of like checking both boxes. Like, we're going to retaliate, but we will show restraint. Basically, just again, we're warning you here.
Do you think Israel is starting to not look so good in front of the rest of the world because of their
How they're handling Gaza?
How they're handling Gaza,
I think with the anti-Semites, I think with a lot of people and the lies perpetuated by the media, of course, yeah, I do. But I think, you know, those of us that know that, say, for example, when the Taliban were in control of Afghanistan or just like Hamas is in control of Palestine and they're putting out these figures and the first thing they're saying is genocide, I don't think that's true. I think they're lying. I sincerely think they're lying. I think there are, yeah, there's probably a lot of carnage, a lot of death. I will not deny that, but that's war.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and say Israel has to play fair when Hamas didn't. You took out innocents from all around the world that were at that, that festival.
Yeah, I agree. That October 7th attack was nasty.
That's once you've opened the doors and you've went out that route, if they're in your vicinity, get out because we're coming for them. I don't blame Israel. And here's the thing. I don't even think... I don't even think Israel should have negotiated as much as it has, to be honest with you. I feel like the more they've opened up to listening to places, people like Joe Biden, the rest of them, it's, you know, I do have to respect Netanyahu.
For Joe Biden?
I think Biden's been trying to tell them to back down and they're not listening. But I think the fact that Israel's even taking calls from Joe Biden, I'd be like, we're not even talking to you. I'm not even talking to you at this point. Like, I don't know. But here we are funding them even more. Mike Johnson, the rest of the Democrats want to send him more money. So like Biden's like, show restraint, but here's more money. It's like, why? Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. But I don't know. The hell do I know? And then
I kind of wonder when Israel is going to reach out and say, you know, all right, what do we got to do to stop doing this?
I think that they just need to go ahead and do the Rafah thing. Go in there, eliminate Hamas, and say, okay, that's it. But now we're establishing Israel here. You're not getting it back. If you want to live here peacefully, you can. Just like they already do in Jerusalem.
Because I believe they still have hostages, right?
Yeah. Yep, Hamas does. How many of them are alive? I don't know. I think Hamas offered them like 30 or something like that. It's like there's a lot of them that are probably dead. Which is just like, okay, go in there and eliminate them. So who knows, dude? Who knows? But yeah, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. That's why I just keep saying, like, everybody keeps trying to, like, go in there and interject into Israel stuff. Just don't. It has nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with us.
Except our money.
Except our money, yeah. All right, folks, that does it for today's episode of the All American Savage Show podcast. Oh, by the way, tonight I'll be playing PUBG. My buddy's got me. We game last night. I played Helldivers 2. Streamed it on Rumble and Kick. If you want to join us, I'll be live on Kick tonight about 7 p.m. CST. And we're opening it up for customs. So we can do up to like 100-player games. I have not played PUBG in years because we did PUBG and then we went over to Call of Duty. So yeah, that's going to be tonight at 7 p.m. CST. I'll be streaming it on Kick and Rumble here. You can join in. I'll have my Discord open. Everybody's welcome. Have a good time. Just be bullshitting. So, all right, man. I appreciate you guys. Love you. Thanks for tuning in. You got anything to add, man?
Have a great weekend.
And don't forget, code 420, 20% off site-wide, all over ShellShockCBD.com. You want to stock up, now is the time. Don't forget to cash in those points, folks. Don't sit on that. You want to use that and save yourself some money. All right, we appreciate you. We love you. And we'll see you right here next week, Monday, with Tracy Beans, 12 p.m. CST. And until then, you stay savage, America.